we're in the midst of studying, to me, the most important doctrine in all of the Bible, and that is spiritual love. Now, it may sound like I do more teaching on faith in the Holy Spirit, but that's the way to get spiritual love. But the main emphasis, I hope, of my ministry is teaching how to love as Christ loved. And that's what we're in the midst of looking at in our study. We began with the understanding in 1 Corinthians 13, which we started, but we're looking at John 13, where Jesus Christ said, "A new commandment I give to you." And that's where we are in our study. So let's begin with a word of prayer. To me, the most confusing of all the doctrines outside of the gospel is the love of God, the love of Christ, and how we're to love one another. And it has been so abused that some people think no one's going to spend eternity in a lake of fire because of love, that we love everybody and treat everybody the same and on and on and on. Yet Scripture is very explicit in the idea that you have the courage to love Christ. And if you have the courage to love Christ, you don't love the world. And you don't love unrighteousness. So let's begin with our word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to the truth of spiritual love. Let us pray. Of all the things we want to do, Heavenly Father, we should want to love as Jesus Christ loved. But Heavenly Father, this is impossible in the flesh. It's impossible for us to even understand it outside of understanding the Word of God. So Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of this love and our study. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, John 13 begins with love. He loved everyone. He loved the disciples to the end. And then we noted he taught them about service. And then there is the betrayal. And then he tells the disciples, "I'm going to leave," departure. And right after telling them he's going to depart is the importance of the new commandment. And this is where we are. And we left off last week with the new commandment, the Greek word kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, for the word new. And that's what we're looking at. Point one we saw, it is new in origin. This new commandment is given by Jesus Christ in contrast to Moses giving the Mosaic Law. And we took up several subpoints under that. Then point two, it is new as opposed to the old commandment. The Mosaic Law is now replaced by a new commandment. Three, temporally new. New in the sense of something not previously present, unknown before. Four, it's new in quality. The Greek word refers to something new in character. Five, and I'm just summarizing because we did this last week. Five, new as to recipients. This command is designed for a new spiritual creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Six, this new commandment is new in reference to new direction. And then seven, and this is where we begin now this morning, point seven, you must be free to love. And we saw last week, sorry Calvinist, a person has to decide if they're going to love as Christ loved or not. Freedom to love is to have just as Jesus Christ was free to love us. We must have the freedom to love. This took up our subpoints where we left off at subpoint two, so let's get into it. Subpoint one was Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep on standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery, that is the yoke of the law, even the law of love in the Old Testament. 2, Christ set us free. And that is exactly what every believer is. You are free. You can use your freedom to the glory of Christ or to yourself. You can use your freedom in sin and living that life, or you can choose to live your life in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Freedom. Think about it. I'm so sorry that most Americans do not understand freedom. We're willing to give it up, let the government take it, and not even be aware of it until one day we wake up and we have no freedom. Americans are not taught in school the value, the cost of freedom. Freedom costs. Freedom is valuable. So Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, believers in Jesus Christ, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, spiritual love, serve one another. Now, you can use your freedom to serve yourself. You can use your freedom to serve one another in spiritual love. It's your choice. Unbeliever, believer, your life is composed of choices. Choices we make. Choices of marriage. Choices of work. Choices where we're going to live. I guess I'm very thankful that not everyone realizes how great it is to live in Texas, because we don't want everyone living in Texas. But nevertheless, you have the freedom to choose where you want to live. You have the freedom to choose your work. You have the freedom to choose your marriage. You have a lot of freedoms. These are choices. A lot of people make bad choices in marriage, their friends, where they're going to live, what they're going to do, and it behooves the believer to know how to walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit in all of these issues. So it says, but through love, serve one another. And yes, that word one another is our same Greek word as used in the New Commandment, alos, another of the same kind. That is another believer. We're going to come to a really strong point on that in a few moments. Once again, some may protest. Huh, are we not to love unbelievers? Question, do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? Forget loving the believer. Forget loving the unbeliever. Do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? Very important. In John 21, 3 times the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? People, the Lord cares if we love him or not. Think on that category first. Before you think of loving another person, loving a believer, unbeliever, do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? And people, it's going to take courage. The world is not going to understand that kind of love. It already hates Jesus Christ. And if you decide you're going to love Christ, guess what? You're going to become hated by the world. So, you have the courage to love Christ. And again, be careful how you answer that question. Many believers pride themselves on their love toward unbelievers, toward Jews, toward Muslims, toward immoral people in our country. While at the same time, they're rude, discourteous, sarcastic, revengeful toward one another, toward another believer in their lives, in their families, in the local church. Again, it is easy to love an unbeliever. Why? We expect nothing from an unbeliever. We expect nothing from an unbeliever. But you let a born-again believer cross you, you let a born-again believer do something wrong, and oh boy, now your feathers get ruffled. See? I can't believe you're a Christian and do that. See? People, it's tougher to love a Christian than a non-Christian. See? And therefore, so Jesus Christ set us free that we could have, that we could love one another. Now, subpoint three. Free from the bondage of sin. From the penalty of sin. No unbeliever can love as Jesus Christ loves. Impossible. No unbeliever can love as Jesus Christ loves. They can put on the facade. They can put on the air. But before God, it's not the same love as Christ. The cross set us free to love one another as Jesus Christ loves and obey the new commandment. You have to be a believer first to even think about obeying the new commandment. Subpoint four. Free from the power of sin. That's right. Christ set us free from the power of sin. Point three, the penalty of sin, salvation. But he also set us free from the power of sin. Not only from the penalty, but from the power of sin in our lives. That is, we are free from the power of our inherited sin nature. Our flesh nature. One thing we have not emphasized much, but sin prevents us from loving as Christ loves. Sin prevents that. So he has given to us power over our inherited sin nature. We'll cover this later, but just to let you know, if you don't, this is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's rare I hear anybody say that. I nearly fell off the couch Friday night. Hal Lindsey talking about faith. And point 11, the last point, the ground of everything. He said, faith is how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I nearly fell out of the chair. Because that isn't what he says normally every other Friday. But he said it. And he's right. Faith is, Bill Bright taught that. Faith in the Holy Spirit is how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, point five. Free from the power and dominion of Satan. Free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin, free from the power and dominion of Satan. Even though we're believers in Christ, Satan is still very much our enemy. But the love of Christ has set us free from the power of Satan. Please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now, we don't have time to exegete, but just pay attention to how this verse is put together. Verse 4. You are from God. Second birth. Our spiritual birth. You are from God. Little children. Term of endearment. And have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, people, this is important. He doesn't say greater is Jesus Christ. Greater is he who is in you. Who is in you by the sending of Christ? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is inside of every believer. So, this is our power. Free from the power and dominion of Satan. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Satan has no power over us unless you give it. You have the free choice to give Satan that power over your life. And the dominion of Satan, you know what that is? The world. Systems of the world. You have the power not to be scrutinized by the systems of the world. You also have the freedom to say, yes, I want to be ruled by the world. I want the things of the world. So, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world, referring to Satan and all his forces, demons, policies. Jesus Christ set us free from the dominion of Satan out of his love. Therefore, Satan hates the love of Christ. Not only does Satan hate Christ, Satan hates the love of Christ. This means that if you love as Christ loved, Satan hates you. He hates what's coming out from you. See, there's a great battle. We have God, draw line Satan, and then man. God in man, Satan in man. You get to choose. Who's going to influence you? God or Satan? It's your free choice. You're not predestined to have Satan rule you. You're not predestined to have God rule you. That is the element of love. There used to be the old thing of the love portion. If you ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies, Granny was always trying to come up with a love potion. People, that's terrible. Who wants a love that they get because they give a potion to that person? And as long as they keep taking that potion, they love you. That's not love. Love has to be freely given. See? Freely given to you. No one is predestined to have God rule. No one is predestined to have Satan rule. It's your choice. Who's going to rule inside of you? But greater is he who is in you than he that is out. So inside of man is the Holy Spirit. So you're greater than Satan. You have something inside of you that makes you greater than Satan. All right, that brings us to sub-point six. Free from the Mosaic Law. It's amazing to me how many preachers and Christians love the Mosaic Law and want to have us under the Mosaic Law. The Bible is very clear. The New Testament is so clear. We're not under the law. If you're under the law, it increases sin. Do you understand that? Paul says in Romans 7, I learned about sin from the law. The law says do not lust for something. I wouldn't have known what covet is if it wasn't for the law forbidding it. The law increases sin. We're not under the law. The work of the love of Christ has freed us from the Mosaic Law. We're not to love according to the Mosaic Law, but according to the new commandment. The Mosaic Law commands, but gives no power to execute those commands. In John 14, Jesus Christ will give the power to execute the new command to these disciples. If there ever was a place there shouldn't be a chapter break, is between chapter 13 and 14. It's all a continuation of the upper room discourse. So point seven. Direction of love according to the Mosaic Law, other Jews, Hebrews, believer or unbeliever, good or bad. Direction of love according to the new commandment, all other believers. Point eight. Let's look at Leviticus 19. Occasionally we will go back to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 17 first. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. This is a reference to any other Hebrew, any member of the nation of Israel, be they believer, unbeliever, be they good or bad, you shall not hate them. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. Mental attitude, sin of hate. Now verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, the love of the Mosaic Law is in contrast to vengeance. Instead of striking out at a person, instead of action of harm, you would be surprised how many people ruin their lives, their souls, out of vengeance. Getting even with someone. And they work on it in their mind, in their soul. It's just amazing how many Christians live that way. Can't stand a person. Vengeance. Going to get even. Who has hurt them in some way or who they think has hurt them in some way. and they carry vengeance in their soul until they get even. And getting even can be very dangerous. The ID series on the TV ID, I love when they said, they have it said, love your neighbor, fear your neighbor. And you can't believe neighbors will actually murder another neighbor because they don't like the way they drive on their property, and so they consider it their property. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't like their dogs. Whatever it is, they don't like their kids. And the vengeance that builds up inside of them. So you'd be surprised how many Christians think this is all there is to love. Just not striking out at a person. If you want to call it something, that's impersonal love. And that's not the love of the new commandment. Impersonal love is not anything wonderful. Impersonal love is loving by law. You don't hit somebody because that's against the law. You don't strike out at somebody because they'll shoot you. See? So that's not anything wonderful. This is what many people think love is. These people live under law because they live under the Mosaic law. And this is what love is. Love is not hitting, not taking revenge, not getting even. Now, let's continue the verse. Against the sons of your people, you shall not take vengeance nor bear grudge against the sons of your people. Again, this is a reference to any other Hebrew. Any member of the new race. Remember, Judaism or Hebrew is a new race. It was not before. Abraham was a Gentile. So you form a new race out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why when you want to talk about the God of Israel to a Muslim, be sure you say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will claim they have the God of Abraham. But our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The formation of a new race on earth. And your people refers to a new race of people. Member of the nation of Israel. Be they believer or unbeliever, doesn't matter. Be they good or bad. This love is in contrast to hate. In contrast to mental attitude sins. In contrast to vengeance. In contrast to grudge. Now look at the next line. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Okay, your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? According to the Mosaic law, reference to any Israelite, believer or unbeliever, good or bad. It's amazing the messages I've heard in my life. Talking about your neighbor is a person that's down the street, a person here, a person there, your family. People, if you're going to live by the law, let's go by the law. And if you're going to love by the law, that means your people, a new race of people. We're not under the Mosaic law. This is to a new racial love. A people that have never been on earth before. And you're to love that group of people. Your neighbor, according to the Mosaic law, refers to any Israelite, believer or unbeliever, good or bad, doesn't matter. They're Israelites. You are to love them. They are Israelites. So this is the love that is commanded in the new commandment. To love them. Anyone of the new race under the covenant given to the new race of people. And since they're members of the new race under this new covenant to them, therefore, in a covenant status with God, and because of their covenant status with God, you are to love them. Now, and the standard of this love, look what it says, as you love yourself. People, give you a little hint. If you ever want to borrow money, be sure that the person's in love with themselves that day. Because if they love themselves that day, they'll be glad to give you the money. Say, don't borrow money from somebody who's upset with themselves. Having trouble in the marriage, having trouble in the finances, having physical trouble. Don't do that. Find somebody who just thinks themselves is so wonderful. See? And that's the time to borrow from them. Now, think about this. Under the love of the Mosaic Law, you love someone who's also under the Mosaic Law. This will change under the new commandment. We'll see that. And then it says at the end of our passage, I am the Lord. Now, this presents his authority to give this command. Remember, people, what we've done is very important, the procedure I've built this. First of all, we studied commands. A command is built on relationship. Is there a relationship that is bona fide for the one who gives a command to the one who gives it? That'd be a husband to wife, parent to child, policeman, this type of thing. There's a relationship. So there's a relationship here. He says, I am the Lord. I am commander of you. I am over you. I can give you this command. Now, parentheses, application, not interpretation. This is, take a look at the United States. For the first several decades of our nation's history, Americans loved Americans and respected them, defended them, took them food if they needed it, defended them with arms if they needed it. In fact, our forefathers did not like a Democrat-Republican system. They saw that's going to cause trouble. That's going to cause a lot of trouble down the line. And it did. And it is. But the ideal is, because someone's an American, hey, you're an American. You're one of me. Therefore, I got to care for you. Take care of you. And be sure that you're treated correctly. So, just apply the principle of the Mosaic Law and even the New Commandment to our nation's history. Now, point eight. Major point eight. But in John 13, under the New Commandment, Jesus Christ commands a new direction or limitation. Limitation. The new direction. You will recall that love is a force. And as a force, sex is no issue. Economic status is no issue. Sex is no issue. Economic status. So we're to love one another. Another of the same kind. Another born-again believer. People, the solution for the Christian of the racial problem, loving under spiritual love, is not race. It is not economics. It's not sex. It's, are they a believer in Jesus Christ? No, we're not a new nation. We're not a new race. We are a new spiritual creation. There's a parallel between the Mosaic Law and the New Commandment. The Mosaic Law commanded to love everyone that was in the new race, that nation. The new commandment is given to everyone who is in Christ. See? Throughout the whole world. Still not on? Okay. Alright. Now, so wherever they are. Because you see, this is the wisdom of Christ. Through the Old Testament, they were a nation in Israel. But in 70 AD, that all changed. Well, actually, it changed on the day of Pentecost, but dramatically changed in 70 AD when Rome came in and sacked Jerusalem, and Jews dispersed all over the world, and there is no more nation of Israel. It's a race, but no more a nation of Israel. So, the church is not made up. God did not say, okay, we're going to form a new nation, and we're going to put that new nation in the state of Texas. I think that would have been nice. But the believers are going to be all over the world. You are closer. Listen to me. You are closer to someone in Africa, Germany, Brazil, Iran, Iraq, than you are to people in America if they are born-again believers. They are born-again believers. You're one with them. Whoever they are, wherever they are, you're closer to them than even some family members who have refused to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. This is one of the most remarkable things of traveling around the world. When I was in the military in Germany, when I went over to Africa about 5 or 6 different times to see people in the body of Christ. Race, color, all these things didn't matter. What's an issue? What's an issue to them? What's an issue to me? Why? We're in the body of Christ. And we're to love one another in the body of Christ. Now, so, Mosaic law, love all Hebrews. New commandment, love all believers in Christ. And people, that's tough. Don't think that's easy. It's not easy. Listen, Judith is listening. I like to buy little things. If there are different times, and I was walking through Walgreens about a month ago, and I just looked at anything. She oh, look at that. Little angels. And she just, oh, look at a little angel. Cost me 75 cents. Oh. So I was looking through, and I saw the New Testament read aloud in a little cassette thing. So I bought that. Well, little did I know, the Holy Spirit and I just scored big score. She listens to that all the time. But what is amazing, things that I have even forgotten, read 1 and 2 Samuel. Boy, the Jews were horrible to one another. I mean, Absalom wanted to kill his brother because his brother raped his sister, which I understand. But let's get back to raping his sister. It's amazing how Jews have treated Jews throughout history. They were vicious to one another. Where's the old Mosaic law? They? Non-existent, really. Well, that's the way the church is. Look at the way Christians treat each other. Look at the way a Christian will treat another Christian because of race, because of economic status, this kind of thing. People, you've got to have the Holy Spirit to fulfill the new covenant. So, under the new covenant, we are to love all who are in Christ, born again. Under the Mosaic law, love a Hebrew. New commandment, born again believer. We are to love those who have received Christ as their Savior by faith alone. That is who we're to love under the new commandment. This is how one Hebrew was to regard another Hebrew. You are a Hebrew. I don't like the way you've been treating something. I want to reprove you, but I'm not going to strike out. I'm not going to seek vengeance. I love you. Now, under the new commandment, this is how we deal with one another. This is exactly how we deal with one another. We are to love one another. And we're going to find as we go through this, that has a lot of responsibility related to it. So this is how a new spiritual creature is to regard another new spiritual creation. Remember, this when you get upset with another believer in your family, the church, work, life itself. That the first thing that comes to your mind, wait a minute, my husband, my wife, my children, my neighbor, my first friend at the church, social worker at work, they're believers. I'm under a special call of duty toward them. Very special. I'm not allowed to badmouth them. I'm not allowed to get even. I'm not allowed critical thoughts. I've got to love them as Christ loved me. Therefore, point 9. Limitation or direction is no longer racial. Mosaic law was racial. No longer national. Mosaic law was national. Those under the Mosaic law, members of a new racial creation that had not existed before until Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And therefore, a command came along under the Mosaic Law to love one another. But now, a new direction toward a new spiritual creation. Those under the law of Christ. Therefore, this is a direction that has never existed before in history. Whatever we want to argue, when time began with man, I think it was somewhere around 4000 BC. But wherever we think it is, up until Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, this love had never been there. This race had never been there. Never been there before. See? And now all of a sudden, we have a new race in history and a command, Mosaic command to them in dealing with one another. But now, we have a new spiritual creation. There has never been this breed, this creation on earth for the last, whatever we say, 4,000 years. Not until Christ came, crucified, resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, we have a new direction that has never existed before. This is a relationship between members of the human race that has never existed before. Before God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, and with the coming of Jesus Christ, now with His glorification at the right hand of God the Father, a new direction of love is commanded. That is, other recipients of the love of Jesus Christ. A human example? Not very good, but a human example? I love the esprit de corps of the Marine Corps. Wherever a Marine is, it doesn't matter. Wherever a Marine is in the world, another Marine meets them. There's a camaraderie. I think the Texas Aggies are the same way. Wherever another Aggie is, there's a free esprit de corps. You're an Aggie. I don't really like the way you do business. I really don't like who you married. I really don't like the way you do this or that. But you're an Aggie. And that makes a difference. Well, how much more for us? You're a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm going to do everything I can to pull you out of your sin pattern, Galatians 6, 1 and 2. I'm going to do whatever I can to get you to stand up in Christ again, whatever it takes. See? A new direction. See? Before God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, and with the coming of Jesus Christ, His glorification at the right hand of God the Father, a new direction of love. That is other recipients of the love of Christ. Now think about this. The new race, Hebrews, became the object of God's special love. These are God's people. Still are. They became the object of a special love from God. And now, in the church age, we have a new spiritual creation in Christ, and they have become the objects of God's special love. God has a special love for the born-again believer. And not only that, if you live your life in the power of the Spirit, John 14 says, He will come and abode with you. He will not abode with every born-again believer. He loves them. But there's even a special love for the believer who makes Christ their life. People, God's love, don't get this idea. He loves everybody equally. He has a special love for every born-again believer. He has even a more intensified love for the believer who makes Christ their life. This is the love of God. It's a special love. I hope you're beginning to see and understand why to love one another as Jesus Christ loved, as God the Father loves. This is why we have this command. If you want to know how special the new spiritual creature is to God, to Jesus Christ, Read John 17 sometime. Just sit down when you're by yourself and meditate on each verse. Think about it. John 17, Jesus Christ, that's the Lord's Prayer. That's the true Lord's Prayer. An entire chapter of 17. Okay, Roman numeral 1, new origin, Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 2, new in source, new special command, new spiritual creature. Roman numeral 3, a new command to love in a new love that has never existed before on earth, before God became man. New direction toward the new spiritual creature. And now Roman numeral 5. Roman numeral 5, a new foundation. A new foundation. As I loved you. Wow. That changes everything. First, this gives a new foundation or basis of the new love commanded. Secondly, this foundation prevents, yeah, this is important, as I've loved you, prevents sloppy thinking about love. Making this love whatever you want it to be. So many Christians talk about or even live a really sloppy love. Whatever they want love to be. That's what love is. That's what the love of God is. God just loves everybody, everything. Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. That's not love. That's not the love of God. That's not how Jesus Christ loved people. This is one reason this nation is in a moral collapse. Because we do not understand the limitations, rules related to love. And thirdly, it allegedly defines or describes how we should love one another. It tells you exactly how you're to love one another. If you do not know how to love Christ loves you, then you do not know how to love one another. If you don't know how He loves you, you don't know how to love someone else. It's that simple. The first thing we have to know is, how does He love me? That directs us on how we're going to love another. Our love for one another must conform to how Jesus Christ loves you. Four, spiritual love, the love of the new commandment, sees a need. Spiritual love sees a need of the object of that love, then spiritual love meets that need. We're going to see this should be true of even human love. Love sees a need, and then love meets that need. Therefore, spiritual love is sacrificial to self for the benefit of another. Spiritual love is sacrificial to self for the benefit of another. Don't say you love anyone if you're not willing to sacrifice for their benefit. It's that simple. So point four is very important. Spiritual love sees a need in the object of that love, and then spiritual love meets that need, sacrificial to self, beneficial to another. Think about it. How did Christ love you? The first thing He did was saw our need. We were dead in sin. We could not pay the debt of sin. We were enemies to His Father, God the Father, in desperate need of someone to save us, to redeem us. Otherwise, we would spend all eternity separated from God the Father. This is what Jesus Christ saw when He looked at us as unbelievers. And what did Jesus Christ do with what He saw? He sacrificed his deity. He became a member of the human race, lower than angels, lower than Satan. Humility. Then as a member of the human race, he sacrificed himself to die twice on the cross. He died spiritually. He died physically on the cross to remove the penalty of sin and to establish a grace way where we could have the righteousness of God and therefore fellowship with God for all eternity. He saw a need and he met the need. What did it cost him? His spiritual and physical life on the cross. Think about that when you think about loving someone. Are you willing to do that? He did all of this out of his love. He saw a need and met that need. Let's go to God the Father. God, in this way, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, his Son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does God's love do? Saw a need. That's the first thing God's love did. He saw a need. People, get this idea of a sloppy God out of your mind. Well, he just forgave everybody everything. He's righteous. And boy, the righteousness of God cost God his Son. The righteousness of Christ cost him to die on the cross. Because we had no righteousness. And the only way we were going to get it is by faith in Jesus Christ. So the Father and the Son, their love, saw a need. Don't say you love anyone if you're not willing to be observant of their needs and meet their needs. You know, it's interesting. Some people, I guess by nature, can see big needs. And they meet them. They didn't see their little needs day in and day out at all. Another person can see their little needs day in and day out. They're wonderful day in and day out. But as far as big needs, miss it. What love does, spiritual love does, you see the need. Little needs, big needs. Day in, day out. And you're ready to sacrifice for their benefit. And if you're not ready to sacrifice for their benefit, don't say you love them. In fact, if I were teaching a young singles class, don't marry. Don't marry if you're not willing to sacrifice. You just may have to sacrifice that fine sports car of yours. You may just have to sacrifice that fine boat of yours. You may just have to sacrifice something wonderful. If you're not willing to do that, don't marry. Do not marry. Do not say you love. See? I love you, but I don't have time. I love you, but I love my money more than you. See? That love, who needs that kind of love? Take your love and leave. See? Love sees a need, meets the need, sacrificial to self for the benefit of someone else. That's how he loved. So, the first thing we learn about spiritual love is that love observes. Observes the other person, not yourself. Love looks at the object of that love, observes what that object needs, then meets that need in the best of its ability. And that's very important for humanity, the best of its ability. Think about the best ability of Christ. People, he didn't have to die on the cross for you and me. He could have looked at our need and said, you know what? That's too big of a cost. I'm God, I'm deity, and I'm holding on to it. That's what Satan would do. But your Savior said, I'm God, but I see their need, and that means I'm going to have to become a member of the human race. I love, I'll do it. Now, as a member of the human race, their need is that I go to the cross and die. Humiliation. A cruel, horrible death. I love them that much. I will do it. So this is very important. You see the need of the object of your love and meet that need. parent. You observe the need of your children. Most parents, most mothers, not all, are good at this. They see a need, and they meet the need. And I'm amazed at the times that I've heard in my 44 years in the ministry, how men reject that. Well, you care more about that baby than you do me. Hey, that's her responsibility. That's her love now. She loves you. She'll pay you yours. But right now, this helpless little child needs her. And she sees that need and meets that need. It's a wise husband who sees the need of his wife and meets that need. Little things, big things. It's a wise wife who sees what her husband needs and meets that need. And sees it in a way that only she can and meet that need. A pastor. A pastor has to see the need of his flock and meet that need. People, there are days I'm not complaining. I'd rather do something else with my family or something. But I've got to have Sunday prepared. I've got to have Wednesday prepared. So, sacrifice that because this is what I've got to do. Because I love you. And I want you to grow in the Word of God. So, love sees a need and meets that need. As a parent, husband, wife, family member, love observes. Then love does whatever it takes to meet that need, that, to the best of its ability. Sacrifice to self for the benefit of someone else. People, you've got to really love to do that. Think about it. I would teach you young people, single people, don't marry until you're willing to do that. The spiritual love demands it. Jesus Christ's love for you, He observed your need, and Jesus Christ met your need. Christ's love for you motivated Him and to take our burden upon Himself on the cross. Now, think about this. This is in contrast to the Mosaic Law. This is in contrast to the Mosaic Law. And this is where we'll take it up next Sunday morning. Contrast with the Mosaic Law. By the way, I don't like going to the doctor. I certainly don't like it when they want to do something. But Wednesday, I've got to go in and have cataract surgery. Now, I know everybody's had it, but this is me. These are my eyes, and I need them daily to study the Word of God. So please be in prayer for the surgeon's hands and brain. All right?
Well, you're going to have a partner in that surgery.
I am? You're going to have it too?
No, I can.
With Dr. Slesher? Wow, good. All right. Very good. That Wednesday morning? Wednesday morning? All right. Let's go bump into each other with our eyes patched. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Let's be in prayer for Eve. Let's be in prayer for Eve. My goodness. So, Dr. Slesher will get his hands warmed up on you, then he does me. All right. Huh? No Wednesday night. I won't be able to see. Okay. And all I'll be able to do is complain, so be in prayer for Judith. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, this love is overwhelming. Nowhere else than in your word do we learn about it. Pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, let them become a reality to us in our lives, in our loving one another. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.